Marvin Clark, June 20th, 2006. The first question and the first things that we usually talk about is World War II started in 39 and then Pearl Harbor was in 41. Do you remember the start of the war or Pearl Harbor, where you were, how you heard about it, and what you thought?
I was working in the field over here on the county line here in Kansas, and somebody told me that day that it had declared war.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what time it was, I don't know the date or anything, but that's where I was at when I heard about it.
Mm-hmm. And how old would you have been then?
I'd have been 19, I guess it would have been.
And did you think that you might have to go to war?
Well, I had never given much of a thought. I've never been through a war before.
Mm-hmm.
I guess in time, we all figured out that, and we did, just about everybody in the world went, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. And did you know young men around you that were going in?
No, I knew them from different places, but when I went to service, I didn't know any of the boys mm-hmm. that went with me to service after I was called in.
Okay.
Not a soul went with me that I knew beforehand.
Okay. So you were here and you were farming.
I was farming for another fellow. I just working for wages.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then when were you, did you enlist or were you drafted?
I was drafted, and the discharge paper there, I mean all of it there, I think.
Okay. Well, that's all right. We can get those dates later. So when you were drafted, where did you go for induction?
I went to Camp Robinson, Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I was inducted. And then I had a few days then before I returned back in.
Mm-hmm. And then you went to basic training?
Went from there. We were sent to California. And that's where our outfit was formed. We wasn't with a battalion. It was a separate company that they formed out there, just anti-aircraft outfit on 90 millimeter guns.
Mm-hmm. And did you ask for that, or they just
put you there? They just put you where they wanted you to go.
Okay.
I don't know how come me to go there. I mean, there was two other boys went there at the same time that I did know, but both of them got discharged and went back home.
Hmm.
For some other reason, mm-hmm. I don't know what.
Mm-hmm. So you had your basic training there?
I had my basic training in on the Mojave Desert in California. That's where we took it at Camp Hahn, California, is where we were stationed at that time.
And what was that like, that basic training?
Well, it was different. Us old country boys had never been anywhere at mm-hmm. that point in time. Nobody had ever traveled. We were just coming out of a depression, and nobody had anything.
Mm-hmm.
But, it was quite different than I could even expect. I don't know. From there, after we had our basic training there, they shipped us by rail in to Camp Pickett, Virginia, mm-hmm. one trip. And we took our amphibious training there.
Okay. When you were in the Mojave Desert, you were training on the anti...
Yeah.
Okay.
I was a fuse setter on the gun.
What does that mean?
The big shells that was fired through this anti-aircraft gun, they had a fuse in the nose of the projectile.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my job, to set it at whatever interval we needed to explode.
You mean so... Every so many seconds, or
yeah, it was set up to 30 seconds.
Okay.
It was the highest it would go, and then if you fired at a plane anywhere, if you hit anything between there, it would go off. But if it didn't, it would explode at that 30 seconds or whatever we set it at.
Okay, and what determined what you would set it at?
We had the azimuth and elevation equipment. Mm-hmm. That give us the data that whatever the plane was flying at, the speed, the altitude, and stuff like that. And it was sent back to the gun electronically, and and then we were just matching pointers, basically, is what it done to, to set it at that time.
And did you receive other training with, I'll say, a rifle or things like that?
Oh, we had a rifle, sure. We had to have our M1 rifles. Everybody carried a rifle. And then whatever position you had, if you was a truck driver, you had a submachine gun that you carried with you because it was, went with the truck. Yes, we had infantry training, all right, but we never was infantry, only after we got overseas, while we was broke down into units, and if we went in as tank destroyers or anti-personnel or whatever the thing was called for, we got it all down to what, how many planes we got credit for and how many tanks and this kind of stuff. It's all some of those papers. I don't know.
How long were you in basic training?
We was in the States just about a year before we were sent overseas, and we went to England, and we spent 8 months in England then before the invasion, training for the invasion there.
So you probably went in 42 or 43?
42.
When you were in basic training, this was your first time traveling in the United States. And you were with young men from all over the country. What was that like? Living
you
in
had,
barracks and...
It's just a matter of getting acquainted. Everybody had to... had lived basically the same way up until that point. We was all 19, 20, 21 year old boys. And it was just a matter of getting acquainted with new faces.
Was it hard taking orders?
Oh, yeah, you didn't like it, but you did it anyway. Yes. I never did make much of a rating myself. I was just a corporal, as high as I ever went. That's what my job called for, so that's all I ever got.
Is there a particular person that you remember, maybe a friend or an officer?
Oh, yes. I've had, I'm still in touch with a bunch of the boys. I've got friends in Nebraska, Texas, Utah, some in Kansas, Arkansas, a lot of them. I still keep in touch with a bunch of them, but most of them are gone.
And did they go through basic with you?
Oh, yeah, a lot of them did, yeah. Yeah.
So the people you went through basic with, then you just moved along with?
Yes, we was formed, our battalion was formed, had five batteries in it. It was about 160 men to the battery. So there was an equivalent of about 1,100 men in our outfit.
Okay.
Then we was separate, but we was attached to lots of different things, units, whatever they needed us. Well, that's where we went.
Okay.
At one time, we was attached to General Patton's Third Army for a short time after he come in from Southern France.
Okay, anything else that you remember about that basic training? Did you have free time that you were able to, you know, see anything in California or do?
Very little, very little. It was such a busy, busy time. I was married before I went to service. And my wife came to me in California, so basically if I got any time off, I went to see her on the weekends.
Did she live off base?
Off base, yes. Yeah, we didn't have a place for them to live like you do nowadays.
Yeah.
She came to California, and then she at Los Angeles, and then later she got I got her a place down at Riverside, and that's about 9 miles out of camp, and she stayed there till I was shipped out, and she was followed me then from there to Virginia, so she stayed with me the whole time I was in service.
Were there many people that were married like
you? Oh yes, there was a lot of fellows.
Okay, so when then you went to Virginia and shipped out, then she came back home?
We went from Virginia to New Jersey. Mm-hmm. We were stationed there for a short time, and then we shipped out from there when we went to England, though she came back home to her folks and stayed with her folks and mine and most of the time while I was gone.
Mm-hmm. And when you got on that ship to go overseas, what were you thinking?
Well, I can't remember now. I can't remember how it was at that time. It's been a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I never give it a thought. Leaving her was the worst part of it. See, while we was in California, my oldest boy was born there. Mm-hmm. So he was 6 months old whenever I left to go overseas.
Yeah.
So that was the hardest part for me, I think, by going overseas. But we didn't realize what a war was.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't, anyway. It wasn't publicized like it is nowadays. Everybody knows what it's like now.
Mm-hmm. How did you hear about the war when you were in basic training? Did you read about it, or?
Well, they had a paper that they called Stars and Stripes, kind of sent back to the States, and we'd get newspapers and such like that, but.
Okay, when you got to England then what did you do?
We trained every day. We had an area where we'd fire guns at targets and such as that, and then we had practice runs. They'd load us on LST like we was going, and we didn't know what we were going to, and we'd go out so far in the water, and then they'd turn around and come back, and we'd unload it all and mm-hmm. do the whole thing over again.
Mm-hmm.
We had practice runs like that, so we didn't have very much idle time.
Mm-hmm. Was there a certain things that they told you when you were unloading the LSTs?
I can't remember that part of it now. I can't remember them briefing us on what. They just give us an orders what we was going to do.
Mm-hmm. And what were you carrying when you were loading up?
Pardon?
What were you carrying a pack?
We had a full field pack we carried when we was on a march or whatever. We had all of our necessities in this field pack. We kept that with us at all times when we was moving.
And what were the necessities?
Oh, it was some ammunition, your toothbrush, your D-bars, and shaving equipment and stuff like that you had to have with you.
Mm-hmm. And how heavy would that pack have been?
Gosh almighty, I don't even know now.
Heavy enough.
Yeah, it was. When you make a 30-mile hike and carry that in your rifle, it was pretty heavy. I would guess 50 pounds. I really don't know, but mm-hmm. that'd be a wild guess.
Mm-hmm. And you just knew you were being trained, but you didn't know specifically what you
were? Oh, no. They never told us till we got to California what we was going to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they give us that training out there on the desert. We assumed that we was going to the Pacific.
Oh, I see.
We assumed that because we had all the training for desert training.
Mm-hmm.
And then they shipped us to Virginia and then give us amphibious training.
Mm-hmm. And what training would that be?
Oh, it's they would take you out for one thing. For instance, they'd take us out a half a mile on a boat with a full field pack, clothes and everything, and dump us out in the water, and we had to get back to shore.
Okay.
And that was part of the training, and it was just for the other side of the world.
Mm-hmm.
What it was trained for.
Mm-hmm. So when you were kicked out of the boat, you had your pack and you had to swim back?
Oh yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yep. You better swim.
Well, you had to learn to swim, or I'm assuming some people did.
Well, they had at that point they had a pickup boat. If anybody got into trouble and couldn't make it, they'd pick them up.
Mm-hmm.
But they also had a life jacket or a belt that if you got in trouble, you could inflate this belt
mm-hmm.
to make you float till you get help.
Okay.
So they tried to not lose any men by it, but it was basically pretty tough training at
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm. Was all your training tough?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. It was nothing easy. We had such a short time to be trained.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then when you got to England, you were trained more. And then were there any rumors about what you were going to be doing?
Oh, yes. You could always hear something, and you never knew whether it was right or not. But, yeah, we had all kind of rumors.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when were you aware that you were going to be going to the Normandy beaches?
Well, when we went to England, well, we knew then that that was the where was going to be a fighting or war was in out of England, because it was being bombed at that time, see.
Mm-hmm. And where were you in England? Where were you?
Western-Supermare. It's on the British Channel.
Oh, okay.
And it right down in a little resort town down there. We was the first American boys in this town.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And now, the bombing was not where you were.
Not basically, mostly around the capital up mm-hmm. there, you know, but there was a lot of damage that had been done there before,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't, we'd have a air raid whistle every little bit, but we didn't have much going on there.
Mm-hmm. And how many months were you there before?
We were 8 months in England before the invasion.
Mm-hmm. Just basically training.
Yeah, just training for everything you could think of.
Mm-hmm.
Just put you through. If you didn't have nothing to do, you'd go on hikes. You'd 20 or 30 mile hikes and just keep you in shape.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anything else that you remember about that training? And during that time, were you able to write home to your wife?
Oh, yeah.
Was she able
to
write to you?
Oh, sure. She wrote every day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And did you get the mail on a regular basis?
Oh, no. We did in England, but when we got it after the invasion, why, it was weeks at a time before we'd get any mail, just whenever he'd catch up with us.
Mm-hmm.
After we got to moving, why, we'd move pretty fast at times. You just have to catch up with us wherever we was at.
Yeah. Okay, so then D-Day came, the Normandy invasion. Can you talk a little bit about what happened for the immediate preparation and then the landing?
Well, the preparation was the same as we'd been doing. We had done practice runs. So we loaded again, and not knowing till after we got loaded where we was headed at, we was really going. And we were the first outfit to ever make an amphibious landing with 90 millimeter guns.
Mm-hmm.
And our old colonel told us that day when we, after we got on the way, he said we would be the first if we make it.
Mm-hmm. Were you thinking anything at that time?
Oh, of course. Your mind runs pretty wild whenever you mm-hmm. don't know. You think of things that's not very important at times.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, it's nerve-wracking, but everybody was in the same boat, so you kind of kept your feelings to yourself.
Mm-hmm. How many were on that LST boat?
I can't tell you now. There was one battery of the 101st Field Artillery was on the LST with us. So I don't know how many would be with them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know.
Mm-hmm. Did it seem like it took a long time to get over?
Well, I can't recall that it was that long. See, it's only 28 miles across there, but there was... The water was full of ships.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then what happened?
Well, when we got to the shore, we tried to get to the beaches, and infantry was already ahead of us. Small artillery and everything was all ahead of us. We got orders to go in, and the shelling run us out. So we made about 3 runs at the beach before we could get unloaded.
Mm-hmm.
So it made us later getting on shore. We lost some of our equipment getting on shore that sank, and we had to be re-equipped later.
Mm-hmm.
there was, each battery was on a different LST. Mm-hmm. So they had different things to happen to them. Mm-hmm. They used our ship for a hospital ship while we was waiting to get unloaded. They'd bring in the wounded infantry and boys back from the shore and used our ship for a hospital ship until we could get unloaded. Then they brought them back to England. Mm-hmm. We wasn't in the toughest part of it like the infantry boys were.
Mm-hmm. But now, you were necessary because you had to get there because you were anti-aircraft.
As soon as we could get on shore, yes, we had to set up our guns immediately when we got on there, just right on the hillside there beside it. And we stayed there until we got infantry moved back and other artillery got a foothold. Mm-hmm. Then as they moved, we moved. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we had to keep the planes off of them as best we could, yeah.
And were you on the beach 2, 3, 4 days?
As far as I can remember, it was about 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
It's all kind of a blur to me. I can't remember now, but I know there at one time there was 4 days and nights that we didn't get a sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How'd you get through that?
Well, you just had to. You just had to be in our little old things that you think about or remember wasn't very important. I can remember I got so sleepy that I slipped off and I hid in the truck. And I got to sleep an hour before they found me.
Mm-hmm.
But man, was that a relief to just sleep that long.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, did you get to eat? Or?
Oh, yes. We had our mess crew with us.
Oh.
And we ate as we could get this. I don't remember very much about that part about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was your first experience with war.
Right.
And then you began to move.
Oh, yes, we moved after we got started pushing the enemy back. Well, we moved pretty fast. We'd move a lot of miles at a time to keep up.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the planes wasn't on that front line altogether, but we used us for whatever was necessary.
Mm-hmm. And did you march, or were there trucks available for you?
Did I?
When you moved forward, did you march forward,
or
were
no.
there trucks?
No, we had our vehicles. We had to carry all of our equipment.
Mm-hmm.
We had to load it, get it in march order to move it as we went.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had to. We wasn't foot soldiers. We mm-hmm. we had it easier than they did.
Mm-hmm.
By a whole bunch.
Did you know at the time, or even think about the history that you were making?
Oh, no. No, it never entered my mind that we were making history. We were just trying to do our job and stay alive.
Mm-hmm.
That was basically how it went.
Mm-hmm. Describe moving forward. What were some of the conditions, and what if there weren't planes, you were just moving forward, and then when...
The officers took care of all that. Us guys, we had done what we call to do. How they knew where to move to, they had their maps and their generals to tell them where they needed.
Mm-hmm.
We've had had calls to go in and help other units. It was pinned down.
Mm-hmm.
We'd be called for anti-personnel in the crossroads, or so many little things like that they was called to do that wasn't part of our job.
Mm-hmm.
But we was able to help them out. England, I can remember one little call, and I can't tell you where it was at, but the Germans took that little town one night, and for 3 nights they'd switch back and forth. They'd take it back, and then they'd take it back. They finally called us for help. They never did come back after that.
And how did you help them?
Well, we was able to give them more firepower.
Mm-hmm.
We was able to help their units, whatever they was lacking in.
Mm-hmm. And what did you think of the countryside, or did you even have time to think of the countryside?
It was pretty well tore up. A lot of it was the towns was pretty well tore up, and we had to kind of deal with the native people that lived there, as we, because we was enough behind that they could feel liberated.
Mm-hmm.
And I never thought very much about it at the time, about the country. But we'd move up in a position, we may not be there but one night.
Yeah.
Then we'd be called some other place.
Mm-hmm. And you had your food with you and things?
Sometimes.
Okay.
There was times that we would run out of food.
Mm-hmm.
And we've killed deer, we raided German warehouses.
Mm-hmm.
We raided chicken houses and get eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of done what we had to do, but until our mess cook got there.
Yeah, okay. All right, so you kept moving, and then the next big thing was, of course, the Battle of the Bulge.
No, that was pretty much towards the last.
Okay.
We was called up at St. Lo.
Mm-hmm.
They bombed it, and at our planes dropped a lot of bombs short. Mm-hmm. On our own bullets.
Oh.
And we were pulled back about 12 miles from the front line at St. Lo.
Mm-hmm.
For this raid. And after the raid, while we moved on, and at Cologne, they made another big bombing raid there. We was designated to mark the bomb release line.
Okay, and now explain that.
We set our guns up in a line and set it at a certain elevation and fired only smoke shells.
Oh.
Made a smoke screen.
Mm-hmm.
The planes coming over would know where to start releasing their bombs.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a commendation for that. There wasn't one soldier killed of our own shortness there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we just fired blank shell just for smoke, just bomb release line.
Mm-hmm. Now when they were coming into Cologne, they were bombing the bridges on the river?
No, the town mostly. It was just a stronghold, and we was far enough behind, we didn't see any of it. I mean, we just fired shells, but the infantry and little artillery was all between us.
Mm-hmm.
And seems like at St. Lo there was 12,000 planes in that raid.
Hmm.
They just come over in formations, and I can remember the during that time, we was, like I said, we was pulled back, and we was watching like these planes that had come over, and we was 12 miles from the front line, and the ground was shaking just like you're in a strong wind.
Mm-hmm.
It had that much vibration from all the bombs that was being dropped 12 miles away.
Mm-hmm. And the planes were flying from England? Or
yes, okay. England, yeah.
All right. And then eventually as you moved further in...
They had a smaller bases, yeah. They had, had captured some of their bases. But the biggest planes mostly all went back to England. That was no distance at all for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they could all go home and get a good night's sleep and
mm-hmm.
be ready for the next run.
Okay. All right. Well, keep moving yourself forward and let's...
And after that, we was pulled up there to fire at these buzz bombs. They had these buzz bombs, we called them, that the Germans would send over. They was radio controlled. There wasn't a man on them, but there was just tons and tons of explosives. They guided them at different cities. Our job was to knock them down before they got to their destination. That's where we were at in the when the Battle of the Bulge broke out.
Mm-hmm.
We was up there trying to fire the keep these planes, these buzz bombs down.
Mm-hmm. Was that difficult to do?
We didn't always get our target. Mm-hmm. We didn't always, but we got a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the Battle of the Bulge broke out. Was there, and this old colonel I showed you a picture of there, he was stationed at another, he was in the headquarters battery, and they shelled us pretty hard down there, and we asked for march order to get out of there. He said, oh, it ain't that bad, said, just hang on till I get there. Well, we helped when we got there, and when he got out of his jeep, the shell hit my